Scientists are teaming up with Indigenous rangers in an effort to try and better understand last year's massive and mysterious mangrove dieback in the Gulf of Carpentaria. You might remember we spoke about this earlier in the year. More than 7,400 hectares of mangroves were affected, stretching about 1,000 kilometres west of the Gulf town of Corumba. Norm Duke is an international mangrove expert at James Cook University's Trop Water Centre. He's currently in Normanton. Norm, welcome back to Breakfast.
Hello, Fran. Good morning to you.
Norm, can you just remind us how significant this dieback is, how much was affected and why it matters?
Well, you've given the numbers. Essentially, we're looking at large sections of the coastline. Over a total, it's about 6 or 7% of the mangrove area has died. But in some locations, which is the worrying part, is it's up to 25%. And indeed, whole shorelines from the sea edge up to the land edge of the mangrove has died. So those places we're looking at as particularly vulnerable.
And vulnerable to what? Why would the dieback of the mangroves, what would it make a difference to?
Well, what we've got here is not only a loss of habitat, because, you know, with the fish, the relationship of mangroves to fisheries, whether they be prawns or mud crabs or finfish, the industries associated with those obviously would feel the difference, if not now, but in the future. But the other things that come from this habitat are things like shoreline protection, you know, where the trees bind and hold the sediments together, preventing their erosion. But also there's, today it's very much a focus on carbon stocks, you know, about how much carbon is being released into the atmosphere because of this huge loss of vegetation.
Right. Well, talking of carbon stocks, have you got any closer? Last time we spoke to you, I know you were really calling for some funding to help conduct research. Has that research happened? Are you closer to knowing why the dieback occurred? What's gone on?
No, we're not. We've found, you know, that Northern Territory has put forward $200,000 that's going through Charles Darwin University. And there's there's indications that the federal money from a NEST program, that's the National Environmental Science Program, may be put to be available for this, but we're not sure about that yet.
Is there any connection, when first heard about this and then we heard about the coral reef bleaching, which was to do with the warming of the waters up in that sort of neck of the woods, any connection there? Is there any suggestion that the same warming of the waters that caused the coral bleaching may have also had an impact on the mangroves?
Yes. Well, there are connections. Certainly the timing is one of them. But then it's about, and certainly it was hot and dry at that time, or certainly the heat. It was excessively hot in the Southern Gulf towards the end of last year. But the real matter that seems to have been the clincher in this, it's still a hypothesis, but the data isn't. The data is there showing, at least from the satellite imagery, that the sea level dropped 20 centimetres in the end of last year, and they've come back to normal now. But the reason they dropped could be, and you have to speak with some oceanographers about it, that it could be associated with the hot water on the east coast that was bleaching the corals.
Okay. What you're trying to do now is see what you can do to protect the mangroves. You're currently engaged in a training program with Indigenous rangers to conduct the research around the Gulf. What role would they play in either improving our understanding of this event, but perhaps more importantly, trying to repair or protect the mangroves that they are there and maybe those shorelines you talked about that are now exposed?
Correct. The Carpentaria Land Council Aboriginal Corporation have stepped up, recognising that it's an important local issue. They've got us to come as mangrove watch experts, if you like, to come up and deliver the training program that shows people here, the rangers. We're talking about 22 rangers in both Normanton and over in Burketown. We'll be heading over there today, Burketown, to continue the program. What this is raising local capacity to be, better observers, better at least in the sense they're already observing, but to give them the tools and the way, the confidence to record this information so that, you know, we can get to know more about what's going on.
Norm, we've got to go, but in terms of, I am worried about those shorelines that are now exposed. Has work been done or can anything be done to protect them?
Yes. I guess it's firstly a case of understanding what caused it. What we can do, yes, I think the first step, it has to be about the monitoring. There's going to be different ways of managing this afterwards, but the most important thing at the initial stage is to find out about the cause and to monitor the health of the surviving trees and to encourage or to minimise the damages that may be caused by other issues here.
Okay, Norm, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome, Fran.
Professor Norm Duke from James Cook University. He is the spokesperson for the Australian Mangrove and Salt Marsh Network.